I'm Amy, your host of Mother Lessons. I'm a postpartum doula supporting women through the transition into motherhood and after through emotional and physical support. Mothers need other mothers, and through this podcast we can connect and support each other. Mother Lessons was inspired by the word matrescence. The word was coined in the 70s by anthropologist Dana Raphael. It is the transition period of becoming a mother. Similar to a child becoming a teenager through adolescence, our hormones go wild, our hair and skin change, we learn a whole new dynamic to our bodies and our relationships around us. This podcast is for mothers and mothers-to-be. It's here to support mothers in this massive transition and identity shift, which can happen over many years. We will explore all things mothering ourselves and our children, because mothering ourselves is the first step. So welcome to this episode. It's a special summer bonus episode that I wasn't expecting. I was asked to be a guest speaker on Emily Carson's fourth trimester education series on the topic of postpartum vaginal steaming. And I was super honoured, as I really respect Emily's work. Emily's a postpartum educator, an acupuncturist, craniosacral practitioner, and a birth story listener. And she asks beautiful questions and has a very informed background, and you will love hearing her speak between questions. She has so many insights and she's so articulate. And if you're interested in getting a personalized steam and herb plan from me after listening to this, I'm selling them now for 30 euros online, and the link is in my profile and all the information. And in this episode, I go into a few personal, vulnerable subjects, and we also talk about my background and how I got into steaming and postpartum care work, history and culture of steaming, postpartum cleansing, postpartum steam plans, maintenance plans, what's lochia and when to know when to start steaming, hemorrhoids, prolapse, uterine fatigue, herbs, return of the period, different ways of steaming if you don't have a steam stauna, how to work with me, sleep and steaming, labor preparation steaming, and so much more. So enjoy this episode. So a little bit about me, where should I start? I mean, my work kind of changed a lot when I had my only child, Juniper. So she's 3.5, and I was a designer before that, but I also have an anthropological background and lots of different things I was doing. But I was always interested in health and well-being and alternative medicines. And I grew up with that more or less. My mum comes from Poland and my dad comes from Serbia. So there's lots of folklore and herbs and naturalness, but in a very normal way. It's non-alternative kind of thing. And when I gave birth to Juniper, I sort of started wanting to change my direction of work. I started working with essential oils, and then I wanted to study to be a postpartum doula for a really long time, but it just never felt right, and motherhood was very consuming. So and I was a full-time mum, and so I recently, in the last year, became a postpartum doula, and then in the last year and a half, a vaginal steam practitioner as well. And I also do facial reflexology. So I'm just getting into a lot of different practices for women. I started a year and a half, a big notebook with women on it, and it had nothing in it. But I knew that that whole book was going to be filled with amazing things about women and how I can best support women. And it comes from a place from me feeling like I needed support postpartum. I really struggled with bonding. I struggled with vaginal health. I struggled with painful sex. I struggled with mood disorder. I wasn't diagnosed, but I definitely felt like there was something up. Not having a strong village, you know, all those things. And I think you want to go into the area that you sort of struggled with and want to get better at. So yeah, that's where it started, really, having my little girl, Juniper.
And can you tell us a bit about what vaginal steaming is, how you describe it?
So vaginal steaming can be done with anyone with a vagina. And it's a practice that basically the uterus is self-cleaning, but it aids the cleaning. So if you think about the colon and how that is also self-cleaning, and we go for regular bowel movements, but sometimes maybe we need a little bit of help with herbs, with maybe a colon hydrotherapist. It's the same with the uterus and the womb. It's self-cleaning, but it can have a little bit of help with herbs and steam. So every month, our uterus has a self-cleaning process, and that's called the period. And if we're not pregnant, the egg is also released and cleaned out. And that is kind of a small reflection of what the postpartum period is. So when we're having our period, we need to rest, we need to eat different foods, warming foods, all that kind of thing. And it's the same with postpartum. But the difference is with postpartum, you're releasing all the birth matter and all the mucus and all the white blood cells and all that kind of thing as well. So steaming is a bit of a superstar with postpartum period, and it really helps release all that and so much more. It's just an aid to, and it's also for relaxation and help with scars and healing and a connection with your vagina. It helps with bonding with your baby because it releases oxytocin. It's a very, very relaxing practice. I'll go into more of the benefits later. But yeah, that's what it is.
And can you say a little bit more about the origins of the practice and where it's found, the lineage of the practice that you work with?
So I first found out about vagina steaming years and years ago, probably about 9 years ago or something like that. I can't remember exactly. And I was thinking about getting pregnant. It didn't happen for a long time just because we didn't try, but we were thinking about it. And my friend gave me a book by Rosita Arvigo, and she's a Mayan abdominal therapist. And she studied with her mentor in Belize, who worked with herbs. And then I read that book, loved it, went to a Mayan abdominal therapist and just said that I wanted to sort of plan my pregnancy and get as healthy as possible. And she prescribed vaginal steaming and abdominal massage, predominantly those two things, along with other things as well. So that's when I sort of started. But it never really became a really strong practice until I studied it about a year and a half ago, which is a shame because then I didn't use it postpartum. So when I have my second, if I have my second, I'm definitely going to be using it postpartum. And there's a cleanse that you do, basically, which I can tell you about.
And the steamy chick practice, where is that lineage from? Is that taking understanding of steaming in different places, or is it?
She does, yeah. So she first learned about it from a Ghanaian woman. So she sort of started from there, and then she's so interested in finding out all the different places where it comes from. And she's got this amazing map. I think it's available for public use. So I don't know if you can link it anywhere, but you can click on the map. It's interactive and it tells you from all over the world the different practices. And she's linked all sorts of resources for those countries. Mm. So it's really, really incredible resource. So Poland was on there and I loved it. I loved that. And actually I've heard that Poland was quite... it was just a normal practice for older women. In my family, I asked, and my grandmother's not alive anymore, so I can't imagine it happened in my family, actually. But Lithuania, Italy, France, Germany, so all places around Europe as well, it's practiced.
I remember listening to her speak once, and I want to say something like 50 plus countries.
Oh, yeah.
It was found to be practiced in. Extensive, isn't it?
It is, exactly. And I think, yeah, it's a bit like what we were talking about just before we came on this call, just that remembering of a practice and then bringing it back into our lives again, because it got lost somewhere down the line. So I'm sure that somewhere in our lineage there were women steaming, but we've sort of lost touch with that practice. And I think it's important that we bring it back into our lives and experience it and have experiences with the practice, with whatever we're bringing back, and bring it into our families. I mean, Juniper knows, sees my vaginal steam box, and she asks about it, and she asks about my period, and I'm so open about everything to do with those kind of things so that she can learn from an early age. She's a little medicine woman already. Drinks herbal teas and puts essential oils on her feet.
And so are you both applying steaming for regulation of cycle and postpartum? Was regulation of cycle how you first learned about steaming?
Yeah, so I had a lot of stagnation when I first went to the my abdominal therapist, and so the massage and the steaming basically dislodges all that old blood that's been accumulating over time. So the idea is that if you practice steaming every month, and everyone has a slightly different steam plan, but you can do the common ones. Now, this is not postpartum, this is after 12 months of postpartum. A common practice would be steaming 3 days before your period and 3 days after. So it's preparing your uterus and then releasing the old blood. And often when people first start steaming, they see old blood coming in their next cycle, and a lot of it. Some people say that it's sort of granule-y and coffee-like. Some people say it's just brown blood that starts the period and more of it. Some people see more clots. So it's just a release of that old blood. And then that relieves cramping because your uterus is contracting to release that blood. It's the same for postpartum. At the after you give birth to your baby, your uterus will be contracting a lot to get back to size and place and release all the lochia. And the lochia is basically old blood, mucus, and it's not actually you bleeding the same as having a period because your arteries are closed. And that's the only time that you would steam, when your arteries are closed and you're bleeding. So that's the lochia, that's the difference, because you never ever steam when you're bleeding. Only postpartum after your arteries have closed. So that's really important to note.
Yeah, that's really interesting. They're quite amazing, aren't they? The supply of blood to the womb lining. They've got a coiling process when they shut themselves off. And this is often why we feel pain in the tissues in the womb lining, is that coiling of the vessels that supply the blood are shutting themselves off in order to create that infarction process, the cell death that then allows us to shed that lining. So it's that process that you're talking about, that once that's happened, in some way it's happening as we're bleeding, because that coiling off process happens and then we bleed, and then it's safe to apply the steaming.
So it's really, yeah, it's important that you notice that your bleeding is decreasing in some way, because you've only got a certain amount of blood after, if your vessels are closed, then you've only got a certain amount of blood to release. And so if you see that you're decreasing, then that means that they're closed and but if you suddenly get a lot of bleeding, then it's time to maybe have a herb that helps with that kind of thing internally, or teas and things like that, and rest, bed rest.
I know we're here to talk about postpartum steaming, but for the I just wanted to ask you a little bit about when you work with somebody around steaming, that I can only liken it to differentiation of bleeding from a Chinese medicine point of view. So I would like to ask you a bit more about how you make your diagnosis for somebody, or how you make a kind of an assessment for what might work for them, or how you assess the picture in front of you. And is that by looking at the nature of blood? Is it by looking at the length of cycle? Is it by looking at the way they present in their body, whether they're hot or cold, whether they and any other signs or symptoms throughout the body that you take into account in relation to the blood or the menstrual cycle?
So the sort of, there's an intake form that's quite detailed, and it really goes into discharge color, whether it smells, how long your cycle is a massive key. So if your cycle is really long cycle, then it tends to indicate that you have a bit of stagnation. And it's the same with postpartum. If your period doesn't come back for a long time, depending on if you're breastfeeding, that also could be a sign of stagnation and circulation needing to be upped down there. And if your period is short, then it could indicate that you've got uterine fatigue. But there's lots of other signs as well for that. The colour of the blood, for sure, mainly looking at brown and red blood. So a healthy period is, generally speaking, 4 days, and it comes on and comes off without sort of petering in and petering out with brown blood either side. And it can take sort of 3, 4, 5 months of steaming and doing that steam plan to really take out that stagnation and for the healthy blood to come and the cramping to go. And it even helps with PMS and just balancing everything out. Because if your uterus is clogged up in any way and has old blood in it, then it's not going to be functioning in the way that it should. So, yeah. What other things? We don't look at heat of the... Oh, yeah, well, heat of the body for sure, because there's different ways of... If you've got any sort of signs of heat in your body, so herpes and infections, if you're bothered by excess heat or if it's hot outside, then you do mild steaming and you don't use a cloak on top or a blanket. So that sort of differentiates that as well, because you have advanced steaming and mild steaming, and then you can cloak or uncloak. So cloaking means that you put either a towel or a blanket around you so that the steam really holds in. Even if you have a box or you're already enclosed, putting that around you means that you're steaming your body as well. And then the advanced steam, you use a burner, which mostly that happens when you see a practitioner. And then the mild steam is mostly what you do at home. And that's boiling the herbs and then putting them wherever you're going to use them, steaming until it stops being pleasant and warm.
Yeah, it sounds like it's a practice that's not just focused on blood and response and responding to bleeding and the cycle, that it's really taking into account the other cues that the body's giving us to reinforce the picture that we see in the cycle.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So it's just helping balance it all out.
Mm. And are you able to speak a little bit, Amy? So kind of coming into the afterbirth and that time in relation to our bleeding, and what would a healthy lochia look like?
Postpartum, directly postpartum.
Yeah.
So a lot of women will be bleeding and wetting like a whole really big maternity pad every hour. If you are doing that, that means that you're bleeding heavily and that you need to have bed rest, take herbs to slow down the bleeding. But you will be releasing things that look like clots and it's a lot of bleeding. But I'm not sure if there's a healthy lochia, and it could be similar to the menstrual cycle, but it's red blood, it's mucus and white blood cells and yeah.
Mm-hmm. And would you then work with somebody prior to that time for steaming, or would you, after your lochia is finished, then seek support from steaming, or during your lochia would you, because for some people it can go on for quite an extended period of time, and what for you would be an assessment of what would be an appropriate period of time?
Yeah, so the way I was trained, which by Kelly from Steamy Chick, Kelly Garza, she really has seen that it's best to start steaming postpartum as soon as possible. So as soon as day two. They did a fourth trimester study. Have you seen their fourth trimester study? It's incredible. And they steamed everyone on day four because that's roughly what felt like a safe time to start steaming. So the main thing is to that your arteries are closed and you're not your blood's not increasing and it's decreasing. So the best time to start is as soon as possible. If you feel like your blood is decreasing on day two, then you'd start steaming then. So I would have a consultation in the third trimester for the postpartum plan. But then some women aren't planning that, so that they call afterwards, and you can start whenever. You can literally start a month after, 2 months after, even a year after, to release all that old blood. So when I started my, when I started training with Steamy Chick and vaginal steaming, I was a year and a half after postpartum, and I still needed to get into balance and still could do the cleanse. So you can start, basically what you do is you start with a 30-day cleanse. This is a general thing. Obviously everyone might have slightly different plans, but you steam every single day for about 10 minutes on a mild steam. If you're seeing a practitioner, it could be an advanced steam, but if you're doing it on your own at home, it's usually a mild steam with specific herbs for cleansing. And you just do it 10 minutes a day. And that 10 minutes is so relaxing and such a beautiful way of connecting. And you can hold your baby can be on the side. It's just, I mean, in some countries, like there was a lady on our course that was from Lithuania, and both her grandparents used to steam, and she says it was like brushing the teeth. It was so common. So once you start doing a steam cleanse for 30 days, you could sort of see it as that. You just get into the rhythm. I think the first time you do anything like this, it can be overwhelming. It depends on your personality, but actually once you do it, it's so easy and you just get into the flow. You put the herbs in, boil it up, put it in the place where you're going to steam and sit, and it just becomes, you can make it into a meditation, which I love doing, just putting on some music. Or if you just want to make it super chill, just see it as going to the toilet and just sitting there with your baby next to you, and doing it like that. So yeah, when you're doing it every day, I think you just need to get into your own rhythm.
Thanks, Amy. Sorry, someone came to my door and my dog went nuts. I missed the key part of what you were saying, but I think that so in some way what you're saying is that there are modifications, and that there are just like there would be with steaming, attuning to a gynecological cycle, that you would attune steaming to the postpartum time as well. There's not like a standardized practice for anybody.
And it's really important that we see if you've got uterine fatigue in any way postpartum. So maybe historically you had short cycles, like before you got pregnant, or that you have any sort of incontinence, which is very common during pregnancy anyway, so it's hard to tell, but some women don't get it. So the women that do may have slightly more tendencies to having uterine fatigue. So yeah, we do need to assess that, because that would be definitely a mild steam.
It's interesting, that term uterine fatigue, I've not come across it before.
Okay.
In Chinese medicine, we use blood deficiency or spleen qi deficiency or kidney deficiency, and that then those would then be pictures that would link up with shorter cycles. But it's an interesting term.
I'd love to learn all about the Chinese medicine side of things, because it's so interesting. And Kelly goes into the Chinese medicine side of things because she's interested in it, but it's not a training in that, but she just touches on those.
So I suppose sitting behind uterine fatigue, I guess in the Chinese medicine understanding, there would then be a differentiation within it, that there's a kidney qi deficiency or spleen qi deficiency, and then but I suppose what's interesting and really relevant with herbal work is that in some way it's the presentation of the short cycle which indicates that fatigue. Then you have herbs to respond to that, to tonify, to nourish the blood, to tonify the fascial tissue. When you were talking about the person on your course, and they were talking about their grandparents, was that grandfather and grandmother or grandmother?
Grandmother and grandmother. Yeah. I've heard that men do it just to, as some of the people was like, I'll try it, and the men have tried it. But, and my partner's really interested in trying it as well, but he hasn't yet. It's just relaxing.
There is I came across in some of the reading I did for this conversation, I found a study that was using steaming as an application for prostate issues. I'll send you that information. So it was interesting.
Yeah, I can imagine it would be amazing for it, but I've not had I haven't had experience in that. Mm. Yeah, but I mean also for hemorrhoids, it's really amazing for hemorrhoids. So it can be done for men for sure, and they can just sit on the box in a different way, like sit really far forward. But I've not had, it's not my expertise, and I haven't had experience with it. But I definitely could see how it'd be beneficial.
So that's interesting. Hemorrhoids is in some way when the chi's not able, we're not able to fully kind of contain, or there's not enough energy in our base to kind of contain blood, essentially. And so in some way then, is steaming used to tonify and raise the chi?
Incredibly, exactly. So the steam is very tonifying, and it basically like shrinks things, So. So for hemorrhoids, and helps with prolapses and bringing the uterus back up into place and closing the vulva canal and vaginal canal, and it's got this upward motion, so a hemorrhoid would ideally be shrinking from the steam and being tonified.
So in terms of postpartum support, hemorrhoids are quite a common presentation. Mm-hmm. And I mean, hopefully prolapse is not a presentation that you'll come across, but for any of you here about to give birth, but that steaming for prolapse is something that you went through as well, that you worked through, Amy?
For me personally?
Yeah, would you work with prolapse, with steaming?
Yeah, so steaming can help with prolapse, and because it tonifies and helps basically bring all the steam also, if you imagine the steam going through the canal and into your uterus, and it just creates space and dislodges any stagnation, it increases your circulation, and then slowly your organs are going to be going back into place, and it just helps even bringing back your body back to size. I mean, Kelly talks about this, how she felt that steaming, if it basically released a lot of water retention, and she says that if the water retention is not released in that time, it can turn into fat and then it's harder to release. So she's a real proponent for that, and just feeling more connected with yourself through steaming in that way as well, just feeling that your body's not foreign to you, which is a common thing that women feel after birth. And I definitely felt that.
I was just thinking in terms of fascially tonifying the area, looking at the fascial connections and looking at the perineum as a confluence of fascial tissue, just as you're talking, what's coming to me is that in some way that if you're steaming the perineum, that confluence, that kind of bridge of tissue, is not an isolated entity, that fascial tissue that connects there reaches all the way up to the fascial tissue in our abdominal viscera, and our abdominal are essentially rectus abdominis muscles, and so it reaches right up to our umbilicus and all the way then down our inner thighs as well, down to our knees. So it's a really broad stretch of tissue that you're accessing. And when you're steaming, Amy, do you feel the reach of the steam through the body? Do you feel the warmth spreading through your system? Mm.
So yeah, I love experimenting with the way you sit on a steam chair. So you don't need a steam chair. I can go into ways that you can steam, but I have a steam box. So it's literally just a box. I should have put it behind me and showed you guys, but it's a box, and it has a hole in the top, and you just lift off the lid and you put the steam inside and then sit on the box. And if you tilt your pelvis forward, you widen your legs, you can really feel the steam going into your uterus, and it's just a whole body experience. But then if you sit back, it's more for hemorrhoids and things, because it gets more into that area. So you can experiment with sitting, and the wider the legs, the more the steam's going to be able to enter. Yeah.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking, having a think about both the postpartum time and steaming. How long could you steam into that time for before your bleeds return?
You mean when your period returns?
Yeah, before your period.
So ideally that you'd have this 30-day cleanse and then steam monthly until your period returns. And the way I was taught that it's good to have sort of your period come back between 9 months to 13 months. And if it doesn't come on, and it depends if you're breastfeeding as well, because breastfeeding can sort of halt that, then you can have herbs that can bring it on. And if it comes sooner, then you can also have herbs that can stop it, or just so that, because if you're breastfeeding, it takes so much energy. So ideally you wouldn't start bleeding until sort of 9 months-ish. There are herbs that can help sort of prolong that. And we don't use any herbs that will bring on a period before the 9 months mark. Yeah.
And when you see somebody presenting with either excess bleeding or prolonged bleeding postpartum, would the first thing that you think about be that they're doing too much, that they need to rest?
Exactly.
Okay.
That's one of the main things, rest and stop moving around, like be in your bed. There is actually a Chinese herb, and I wanted to ask you about it, Yunnan Bio. Have you heard of Yunnan Bio? Yeah. So apparently that is an amazing one to stop bleeding and for hemorrhages. Have you used it in your practice?
No.
So I'm struggling to get hold of it, but that's a really good one for postpartum doulas and midwives to have in their toolbox. But and there's also other herbs that can stop, like mugwort's really good, and shepherd's purse, and lady's mantle. There's other herbs that you can sort of drink to stop that bleeding. Yeah. But rest and bed rest is the most important one, just to stop moving your body. Your body's gone through a lot, and really important. And I don't know whether you talk about sort of the first 40 days in your fourth trimester course, and just I sort of tend to say 2 weeks, 2 weeks in bed, 2 weeks around the bed, and 2 weeks around the house. I've heard that many times, and I just love that guideline. And it's there for a reason. I really think that, there's just such a pressure to get back to your normal life after giving birth. And so I'm a real proponent for rest.
There are variations of that, aren't there? I've heard people say that with 5 days, with 10 days, with week, 1 week, I think 2 weeks. Yeah. Right.
The 6 week, 40 day thing. Yeah.
And how do you tend to work with people in the postpartum time? Do you go and set up steams for them?
So yeah, I can, it depends where you are. If you're in my local area, which none of you are, I can rent out a box and a steam plan, and I do the first steam so that it's really easy. And then because it's a 30-day plan, they usually do the 30 days by themselves after that. And some people buy a steam box or a steam stool, but a lot of the time I started steaming on a toilet. So literally just find a pot or a pan without a handle that will fit into your bowl, and make sure it's clean and all that kind of thing. And then you just put down the seat and you steam. But the only thing is, the steam's quite close to your vagina there. So you just need to make sure that the steam's not too hot. Another way is to put it on a comfortable rug, and or just put lots of blankets down and kneel over the pot and put a blanket around you. But it's just, I don't find that's very comfortable for postpartum. And it doesn't allow you to drop into that relaxation, because when you sit on, if you're really comfortable, and I was comfortable on the toilet, but I'm most comfortable on a box, you can really drop into such relaxation. The first, I feel such tension in my pelvis a lot. And the first time I sit on a box, I feel that tension, I breathe into that tension, and then it's released. And by the end, I'm like, I sleep so well. Steaming is incredible for sleep. It's so, so rejuvenating, and it just sends you into this different kind of state and relaxation. Another way that you can do a box or a DIY, you can get an old chair that you can lift the top off the upholstery and then put a toilet seat on top. So that's quite an easy way, or drill a hole in a stool. There's so many ways you can get creative with it. Yeah.
Yeah, those are really good ideas. I'm wondering, is there anything else for postpartum steaming that we've missed, we haven't covered?
Just that it's, yeah, amazing for scars and tears, and the main thing is releasing everything that you don't need in your body anymore and healing everything back up. And so it's just really, really incredible for that healing. And the fourth trimester studies just showed that it sped up the healing. So the lochia was released within a week rather than 6 weeks, just as an example. And the uterus was brought back to size a bit quicker and all that kind of thing. So it's just a really healing practice to do postpartum. Yeah, I think we covered a lot. Unless there's questions at the end, I'm happy to answer.
Yeah, I'd love to open up the space for questions. The last question I had for you though was herbs, and how, if you wanted to say a little bit about herbs.
Yeah, so I work with sort of five different blends, and then those blends have specific properties. They hit the notes of all the properties that you need in that blend, and you can make your own blend, but it's just hitting those notes. And some herbs can aid itching, and some herbs can bring on itching because they're so drying. So, you know, that's just an example. So it's really important that you choose the right herbs. And if you don't have a herb plan or a knowledge of herbs, then you can just steam with water. So postpartum, I would just say water. And after you get your period back, then I would say you can even do it with a quarter of just 2 tablespoons of cider vinegar and 1 tablespoon of salt as well. So that's really cleansing. Herbs are just like an added layer, and I think they are super beneficial because they really help dislodge old blood and tonify and all sorts of medicinal properties in herbs. So it's just another layer. So yeah, I work with the different blends, and they just have different properties in them, basically, and they're hitting different notes. So that they're digestive, and that some are cooling, some are warming, moisturizing. So for labor prep, you need really moisturizing herbs. And there's an element of aromatherapy to it, because that then works on the senses as well. So making sure that the herbs smell good, because you can steam, like in Poland, they actually steamed with potato skins. And I don't really know much history behind that and why. I know that my mother used potato skins to get rid of my fevers, and I know that that really worked, but I'm not sure about steaming. And then some women steam with onions, red onion skins, but it doesn't smell pleasant. So it's not that whole experience, you know. So that aromatherapy, you know, like rose and peppermint and basil and rosemary, those have other properties, but they're also they're aromatherapy as well. So working on different levels. Yeah.
The one thing that you said you might talk a little bit about is would be the only reason that you would steam when you're pregnant.
The only reason, when you're pregnant, yes. So you don't steam when you're pregnant, but you can steam for labour prep. So around 37 weeks when you're term, you can start steaming. And that basically will soften up your uterus, soften up everything down there, all your muscles and tendons. Aid in relaxation, lubrications. You want basically a slippery baby syndrome, so that it's as moist down there as possible, and moisturized and lubricated naturally, not topically, but naturally, internally. And that can be done through hydration, through steaming, through food, so eating sloppy, moisturizing foods. So yes, steaming helps with circulation. So circulation can be really stopped when you're pregnant, because all your organs are pushed to the side, and so there can be a lot of stagnation there. So steaming helps circulation in the pelvis and in that area. And that helps with labor as well. And yeah, so then you'd basically start at 37 weeks, and depending on your plan, if you start on your due date, you can steam every single day, 3 times a day. And my friend at the moment, I've given her a plan and she's steaming 3 times a day, back to back at the moment. And it's, she says it's relaxing her. It's making her feel mainly relaxation and lubrication. Yeah. And circulation.
There's a really nice term in Chinese medicine that is about the aim at the sort of end of pregnancy, or if you're working with someone that's overdue, whatever that means, is softening and ripening the cervix. And it sounds like it's doing just that.
Exactly. Yeah, it really is. It's softening and moisturizing and just nourishing everything, and helping with the perineum as well, and softening that. So that will help then in preventing tears as well. So yeah, and some women even steam during labor, not active labor, but it really helps with, because it helps with relaxation, it can help with contractions as well. And if labor has stalled, some women, like, so if you're already into the practice, then you can have it all set up so that if your labor stalls, you can go on the steam and it can bring it on again. But yeah, steaming at 37 weeks is a good time to start, and it doesn't induce your baby, but it definitely just helps start things on and helps ripening and all that. Yeah.
Thanks, Amy. Are you happy for me to open up for questions?
Yeah, of course, if anyone's got questions.
Does anyone have any questions about steaming for the postpartum time, or anything about, in response to what Amy said? Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, Amy.
Hi.
I like the potato skin thing. I use that for mastitis, actually. That really shifted mastitis, just putting it in my bra.
Yes, because of the heat.
Yeah, I just read it in some herbal book and I thought, sod it, I'll try it, and it really worked. So it's interesting to hear that then.
Yeah,
for other things
with mastitis also, you can grate the potato and then put it in. Yeah, because amazing, that's so good.
So what culture had you heard that from?
So my mum's Polish, and she used potato skins, she never pulsed it, on my feet and on my body when I'd ever have a temperature. Wow. And then I spoke to a herbalist. I have a podcast, and I spoke to a herbalist, and she uses it for mastitis grated.
Super.
Yeah. And I can see why it works, because it turns brown and it really takes the heat from the body.
Exactly. That's what I found. It was really soothing. I had a question about, and I might have missed it just because I didn't come on the call straight away, but are there any big contraindications to look out for with postpartum steaming? Is there any kind of like no?
Yeah, I mean, there's one which is like very rare that happens, and you would know about it if you had it, which is placenta previa, and that's when your placenta's covering the cervix. So that's, you would know about it. So that's a big no. You don't want to be inducing the baby in any way. And then uterine fatigue, you have to make sure that that the steam is super mild and it's done at the right time. And bleeding. So if you're hemorrhaging or bleeding rather than lochia, then that's when it's contraindicated. So you just need to know that your blood is decreasing and that your arteries are closed. And that's the sign that the arteries are closed and it's safe to steam.
Okay. And if somebody's working with you remotely, how would you... You know, if there was any kind of question around, is the blood definitely decreasing, how would you ascertain that?
So if you work online with me, then you would have access to questions either with email or a phone call, and we can assess that. Yeah, it's just a matter of finding out whether it's decreasing, and it's always better just to wait a couple of days and see whether it is decreasing rather than just starting straight away.
Yeah.
And so with some women, it's really obvious and it's like, yeah, definitely decreasing, and they're really happy to start. And with others, they're not sure. And that's when we just watch it for a couple of days and see that it is decreasing and that the the arteries have definitely closed.
And then presumably you'd be looking out to make sure that once steaming starts, that the blood then continues to decrease, and if there was an increase for whatever reason, that would be another.
So sometimes when you steam, even when the blood is decreasing, sometimes when you steam, it stimulates the lochia and contracts the uterus, and you can get, it's very common for a woman to have the her lochia and blood and clots come out while steaming. So cleaning the area is really, really important with alcohol or antibacterial essential oils, whatever you use, but it's very important to clean in between steams. So yeah, that's very common, but that doesn't mean that it's the bleeding. It's just the uterus contracting and releasing more during Great. Steam.
Great. Wish I'd done that with my babies.
Yeah.
Found out too late.
No. Well, it's never too late to steam, but it's, yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks, Natalie.
Just on the off the back of that question, thank you for asking that, Nat, about steaming after surgical birth, after a C-section.
Yes, so you wait 6 weeks after cesarean to steam, just to be safe with all of that. And if there's a scheduled cesarean for labour prep, you can steam for 3 days before to still soften things up, relax, lubricate, and just you can still do it. It's got other benefits for sure. So yeah, after, wait 6 weeks and then start steaming. And it's best to work with a practitioner or just know that your healing is, 6 weeks you'd be safe to steam. Yeah.
Thanks, Amy. Does anyone else have a question?
Just the temperature. Do you fully boil the water and then let it cool down a bit?
Yeah. So I didn't go through how you prepare the herbs. So you generally use around roughly 2 tablespoons of a mixture of herbs if you're using herbs. If you're using water, just water. And you boil the herbs, and then you, just as they get to a boil, you stop the boil, and you simmer on a low heat for another 10-15 minutes, and covered so the volatile compounds don't get released, because that's really medicinal for your body. And then you start steaming, and you always do a hand test or just sit on it and then come up just to see that it's not too hot. It doesn't work that if it's hotter, it's cleaning more or anything like that. It just needs to feel super comfortable and relaxing. So it's just very personal. So always do a hand test first, then sit on it. If it's too hot, get up, wait for 5 minutes, 2 minutes, and just keep checking it so that it's a perfect temperature. Because it really depends where you're sitting. If you're sitting on a toilet with the steam is going to be much closer to your vulva. So you might have to wait a little bit longer. So if you are steaming on a toilet, it's best to boil the herbs and then switch off the heat and keep the lid on for 10 minutes, then transfer it to your steaming station and steam. Yeah.
Have you had any more thoughts about my question about pubic hair, which most people missed?
Yeah, so for those people that missed it, there was a question, Laura's asked whether you should cut the pubic hair before for hygiene or for comfort. And from experience, I had a wax before my birth, and I wish I just left it alone. It was itchy. It was, and even if you cut the pubic hair, it can feel itchy. You want to feel as comfortable as possible down there. So personally, I would say don't. And I know that your question was, would it get messy with all the lochia coming out? But I really think give it a small wipe or a spray, or it really, I don't think it's a problem, but it's personal preference. Yeah.
Thank you.
Does anyone else have a question?
Well, two things. One is that I've not come across the word lochia before. And then the second question is just, I think I heard you say postpartum, just use water for the first month and then you could try herbs. But I just wanted to make sure I understood that.
Yeah. So lochia is just to differentiate that it's not your menstrual blood bleeding. It's not the same thing. Lochia is afterbirth, and it looks like blood, and most people just call it bleeding, but it contains so much more as well. It's all the birth matter and all the other stuff as well. So that's why we differentiate it, because that's the only time that you would steam whilst bleeding, is when you've got the lochia, which is afterbirth. And then steaming with water, ideally you'd be steaming with herbs. So I didn't say just water. I said just steam with water if you don't have herbs or you don't have a herb plan. But ideally you'd be using herbs to just aid all of that. Any sort of personal things that you're working with. Because the herbs are so healing in themselves, even just drinking them and then steaming with them and things like that. So yeah. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, that's great. And is there any particular herbs you would recommend, like, for that first bit?
Yeah, so really, let me just, really cleansing herbs, but it depends again on the person. But how would I say universal kind of? I don't want to say a herb blend and then you go out and then do the herbs and then it's wrong for you. So that's why I said do it with water if you don't have a herb plan. But I would use herbs such as, and then there would be different ratios of these herbs, like peppermint and motherwort, possibly yarrow, possibly rose, lemon peel. There's so many herbs that you can use, basil, rosemary. There's so many. I could list off probably 50 herbs, but it just depends which herbs you're going to be using and how much of each herb. So I'm not selling packs of herbs yet, but I will be selling blends soon. And I do have a friend that is selling herbs that I can refer you to that she can make for me. And she's in England, actually, so it'd be easy postage. And so it's best to sort of have a herb plan. And if you don't, then just thinking what one herb. I would just say water if you don't have a herb plan, just to be safe.
But Amy, can anyone come and work with you to make that herb plan?
Of course, yeah. So online, I do online consultations. I'm releasing in about a week or two, an online course, which will be super affordable, under 50. So probably like 30 euros. I'm still not sure how much it will be, but it'll have your personal herb plan, a personal steam plan, a little mini video and a little book and a PDF and all the information basically there. And then access to me as well with questions with WhatsApp or email and things like that. So that is available, very soon.
Is that for postpartum steaming?
So it will be women in general, postpartum and labour prep. So there'll be three different courses to do, yeah.
Great.
And if anyone's interested in that, I can take names down and email you when they're available. Or you can follow me. I'm on Instagram and update there mostly. Yeah, so it's just my name on Instagram, Amy Illich.
The interplay between steam and heat and the vulva and the pelvic floor and the vagina in that way, we don't experience that sensory experience in any other interface, I don't think. I mean, a hot water bottle is a very different kind of heat, and it's you know, this, and it's almost like it really enlivens that area. And so it gives us that opportunity to sit and connect with it and experience the sensations that might be a mixture of pleasurable sensations or sensations that we feel averse to, but just having an opportunity to sit and be in a practice that involves tracking sensations in our body is a wonderful thing.
Oh, I love that. You're so articulate with that. Yeah, perfect, spot on.
But also, you know, we've been talking a lot on the course about regulation, and it's such a beautiful practice to offer us. You know, regulation so simply is identifying how we feel. And the one thing that we do after we give birth is so quickly dissociate, culturally disconnect from our pelvis. And so steaming is not just about a medicinal practice. It's, in addition to that, it's about a real regulation and an interface between us and our new landscape in our vulva, vagina, perineum, anus, belly, uterine ligament structures, organ structures, you know, that's, it's just completely new, isn't it? So hearing you talk about that, it, and hearing both you and Natalia talk a little bit about the way that you steamed, what it made me think was that it's an opportunity every day to be with that.
Yeah, and even just starting the conversation like this connects us more to our vulva and all those areas, because it's not even talked about enough, you know. And postpartum women live with so many things that they don't have to live with, but they just think that that's normal to be slightly incontinent, or to have tears not healing for a long time, and all those things. And it's been normalized, and actually we're just sitting with that pain when we can actually help ourselves and each other. And I think all this woman's work that everyone's now doing is just incredible, and empowering.
Thank you very much, Amy.
Thank you for having me, Amy.
Thank you. And thank you everyone else for being here and coming along.
Thank you, Amy.
Thank you. If you have any more questions, just ask on the Facebook group and I'll reply.
Thanks, Amy.
All right. Thank you.
Have a lovely day, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
I really enjoyed talking to Emily and everyone else on that call. And I'm so glad that we decided to make it into a podcast, because it's it has so much useful information in it, just listening back to it. And, you know, if you are pregnant and going into your postpartum, you can start steaming with this information. And I do have my course up online now. It's actually not a course, I will be getting the course up, but at the moment it is you get a personal steam and herb plan online. You get a very detailed ebook with how-tos and all abouts and all that kind of thing, and you get access to the private Facebook and access to me during your plan. So I'm really happy to be giving that for only 30 euros, and so it's super affordable. And I want to just thank Emily again for inviting me onto her workshop, and thank you again for listening to this bonus surprise podcast episode with me. Hope you're having a lovely summer, and I will be back on in September. Lots of love.